The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hola, I'm Brandon.
Soy boar.
Yo, it's Nikki.
Wow. All right, so...
Namaiwa Brandon des.
Brandon.
Hi.
Brandon Kuhn.
What have you been doing, Brandon Kuhn?
So kawaii.
Like this video or this post if you think Brandon is kawaii.
Or kawaii.
Yeah, I think you're more kawaii.
What is the difference then?
One's scary and one's cute. It's kawaii and kawaii.
Yeah, if you don't hear the E at the end, it's probably...
I see.
They're probably not calling you cute.
He is both. So, I'm not, so
I'm
it
no
works.
Threat. She says I'm no threat. No. No. I have a very small pin that I'm going to jab slowly through my jugular over the course of the night. We're going to see what happens.
Ooh,
actually, if you could go for the carotid, that would actually spurt.
No. No. I'm sticking to my commitment of wherever the jugular...
Okay.
Wherever the jugular is...
Remember the trailer? Remember the trailers for Girl Interrupted? where she was like, one more move and I stab my jugular, and then Whoopi Goldberg's like, your jugular's over here, whatever. and then Angelina Jolie's like, good to know.
Wow, I do actually remember
that. Because, like, that was in all the trailers, and I used to make fun of that all
and
the time.
And you're like, that's so funny, she was going to kill herself. But Whoopi Goldberg makes everything all right. Remember Ghost? That was good. Sister Act 2, back in the habit.
It's all about TNG with Whoopi, you know?
She's okay, but she's no Sister Act. Okay? Anyway.
And when are we going to get Sister Act 3? I mean, really, I started a change.org petition, and it's hardly the needle's hardly moved, you know?
It's 2016. A lot of people have died. Hopefully, Whoopi Goldberg will survive this year, and then she'll probably make Sister Act 3.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I'm looking forward to that.
Obligatory trilogies. If there's two of them, there's got to be three of them. That has to happen, even if it's a total nightmare. Crocodile Dundee 3, I think it was terrible. I never saw it. I was curious, but I never saw it. I think it's terrible, but it had to happen.
By the way, tonight's theme, if you couldn't guess, is Whoopi Goldberg. Just
you know, she
there.
Actually Whoopi. Could show up in the new Star Trek series, too.
I don't believe
she
it.
Could play you're a right. young, she could right. play a young Guinan.
Yes, she...
Well, younger.
What? Oh, because does she age in... Wait, what?
She's super old Benjamin in Next Generation.
That's true.
They time traveled to, like, the late 18th century or something?
Yeah, and Mark Twain was there, and...
Okay,
and
so I do remember that.
So yeah. Early...
Mark Twain
so
late, was suspicious of...
Oh, late I was like, how are they going to make her look younger in real life? Don't say CG.
CG
not
or...
for that every episode?
Yeah, she could just do the voice. It'll be CG guy.
I mean, I would watch it if she was in it. I totally
or they
would.
Could just find a younger, you know, woman that looks like her and
that's
then just
racist.
Have Whoopi's well, voice.
I mean, Tim
How
and Eric...
How is it racist?
I'm kidding.
Tim and Eric had that impersonator, Whoopi Goldberg.
They could get Whoopi.
They should get Whoopi, yeah.
Whoopi. Okay. I remember. All right, well, that was a good talk about Whoopi Goldberg, guys.
Good job. We'll see you next week. And We had a weird week last time we did one of our new shows. We had no Boar, we had no Brandon. So where were you?
I don't know. Where were you, Boar?
You went on vacation or something. Sorry. And I heard it was like your first vacation.
If you want to call it that.
What is that?
It means I actually left the state of Florida. I guess it's
that's the first time you've left the state?
For reasons that weren't work. I think, well, maybe we went to Tennessee to see Proto Men's release album.
Yeah,
I guess we could consider that a vacation.
Yeah, we didn't work.
We drove straight up 13 hours, drove straight back. Kind of not a vacation, but kind of a vacation.
So yeah, I just saw a post that was like, Brandon's first vacation. I was like, what?
Well, someone, Denica, told me that the best Renaissance festival that exists is in Maryland. And so we went there because it's like an established site. It's always there. There are buildings that are there for it. So unlike the Florida Ren Fest, where they're always making shitty looking buildings and tents. Like, this is just stuff that's there year round.
I think I went to like one Ren Festival ever, and it was a permanent location.
The food was so bad for me and so good. The disappointment though was that
you posted a lot of pictures of crab meat, and I was really jealous of that.
Well, let me get to the original point, was that their turkey legs are real, so they're half the size of Florida turkey legs, because we use emu. We use emu legs here. We literally, if you go to the Florida Renaissance Fair and you get a turkey leg, it's bigger than your head, because it's actually an emu.
It is really?
Yeah. No, I'm not even making that up. It's actually an emu.
And at Disney and all the parks, when you buy a quote-unquote turkey leg, it's emu.
And then I went to Maryland, and I was like, this is tiny. Where are the steroids? And they're like, it's real turkey. It's not emu. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Like, no. I did wonder about that, because I was like, where are they getting these freakishly large turkeys?
It's a larger bird.
I'm assuming that's what Universal must do,
too.
Wow. They legally don't have to tell you that it's not a turkey.
So, but they call it a turkey leg.
Yeah, because for suckers.
My mom used to raise emu.
Yeah, well, she raised them for Disney, probably.
Probably, yeah. I guess.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, so I went to Maryland and Pennsylvania, which I don't want to talk about Pennsylvania, but I went to Maryland and DC, because I've never been there, and everyone in Maryland's obsessed with crabs. There's crab flags everywhere. Everyone's like, home of crab mac and cheese, and all of it was amazing, because they have the crabs right there in the Chesapeake Bay, and they literally fish them out that day, and you eat them. So the first night we got there, we ordered like 24 crabs.
Oh my goodness.
From a place right on the water, and we took like 4 hours, but we ate them all. It was really good. So I ate crab for a week, and then went to DC, because I've
Is crab okay for your diet?
It's fit. Yeah, I can eat seafood, man.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I was eating all the crab. The kangaroo I ate wasn't, probably, but we randomly were in Annapolis.
But it probably wasn't on the list either, so you got a loophole.
I was gonna Google search it, and I was, fuck it. We randomly walked by like a pub that had burgers, and I'm just reading, and it's like, oh, exotic burgers, antelope, like wild boar, and then the last one said kangaroo, and I was like,
wild boar.
We're not even hungry, and I'm just like, I get it, thank you. But we weren't even hungry, and I'm like, we're eating a kangaroo.
I was not on the menu.
You might have been. You still could be tonight.
Whoa.
Or if you still want eggs.
Hey-o.
Or if you play your cards wrong.
Better take me out to dinner
first.
You'll
be on the menu. But I felt bad because it's a kangaroo, but it also tasted pretty good. A little gamey. A little gamier than I thought.
Yeah.
But somewhere out there's a farm where people raise kangaroos and then just shoot them in the head and make them into meat, just like cows.
I mean, I've been told
that's a nicer way of doing things than what they do with, like, cows.
I'm just making that up. I'm assuming it's horrendous, whatever they do. Yeah. Like, they probably drop a pit and they fall into those punji pit spikes from Vietnam, and they just leave them till the blood drains out and they die, and then someone with a hook scoops them back up.
That sounds like the least efficient way to kill something, especially if you want to harvest the meat.
I'm talking about fun, not efficiency.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway. So then I went to D.C. because I'd never been to any Smithsonians, and only in video games. So any Smithsonian museums.
I've never been to any Smithsonians.
There's multiple, guys. There's actually like 15 of them in D.C.
It's all about the Smithsonians.
Yeah. So I've been to them in video games, but never in real life. So, by the way, the fucking dinosaur exhibit that I really wanted to go to closed till 2019. 3 years.
That's always the way with big museums. Like, every time you go, there'll always be an exhibit that's closed, and it's always closed for a ludicrous number of years.
However, they just put the Enterprise back on display?
There is one in the space in, what was it?
The Air and Space Museum?
Yeah. I went there for 20 minutes right before they closed because I didn't have any time and I was running around. Then there's a huge Enterprise in there.
That's the original one.
That's the actual model?
They just restored it, and that's the original one that they used for the original series. Restored it. It was gone for like a few years while they did that.
It was really cool, but I was wondering, why is this here? And there was a giant sign saying, why this is here, literally. And I didn't read it because I was like, I had 20 minutes before all the museums shut down at the same time, and I had 20 minutes left, and we were right there, and we had to pee, and I was like, oh.
The Air and Space Museum was actually the site of the first major Star Wars exhibit, Star Wars The Magic of Myth, which came out just after the special editions, and it was really cool back in the day. And since then, there's probably been bigger, badder, better Star Wars exhibits, but it was neat.
So the coolest part, though, was that they actually had hundreds of skeletons, fully formed skeletons of birds, which was great. So they literally had a woodpecker, and you could see the bones of the tongue, because birds have bones in their tongues. I don't know if you all know that. And so the woodpecker's tongue is
Is that real?
Yeah, it is. The woodpecker's tongue is so long that it wraps behind their skull and goes all the way around to the front where their nostrils are. So when they shoot it out, it like zips behind their skull and back, like over.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
So that was cool. The last thing I did while I'm on this sort of rant was you went to the Smithsonian like National Art Gallery, I think it's called. I forget what it's actually called, but
they got a lot of art galleries. Okay.
Oh, it was a big one. And I learned there that Italian and Spanish Renaissance artists are a complete shite. They're worthless. All they do is paint angels and saints, and they're boring as fuck. Every single one of them. But the Dutch, you go into the Dutch room, Cap, the Dutch know where the fucking party is at. They have, like, well, during the same period, you have Italian and Spanish people painting, like, angels and people having, you know, with golden hair and, like, wings, and you're like, yeah, okay, that's realistic. You have the Dutch painting, like, dead bunny rabbits and, like, flowers with flies on them, and it's really cool. So the Dutch are way better.
Yeah.
The Dutch did have fewer religious restrictions imposed on them by the government.
Still to this day, yeah. They still are to this day, they're still the ones that know where the party is at. They bring the party. That was what I did for a week. It was cool. I rode a train for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
It's weird that you can literally fly to Maryland in an hour and a half, which is how long it took, and then take like a 20-minute train to D.C., and then everything is free. You just run around. I'm thinking of doing that again. I went to Momofuku, which you need to go to. We should just fly up for a day. Literally, 8 a.m., fly to Maryland, or fly to D.C., go eat at Momofuku, come back down.
Now, what is Momofuku?
6 hours.
Yeah, what is that?
There's this...
It sounds like a cuss word in a tribal language.
No, there's this guy that's...
Momofuku!
Who has his own show
called... Momofuku!
Have you heard of the show Mind of a Chef?
I've heard of it.
I think it's his name's David Chang, and he has some restaurants. It's a really good Japanese place. Basically, we had, like... fresh crab yuzu ramen. It had the best pork belly ramen I've ever had. Ooh. And attached to it, he has a little dessert place called Milk Bar, or whatever it's called. And they have trademarked the term cereal milk for flavor purposes. And what they do is they literally get cornflakes and bake them and then siphon milk through it so it tastes like the milk at the bottom of a cereal bowl.
Oh my God.
And then they use that and turn it into ice cream. And then you could add more cornflakes on it. And they also had Coca-Cola flavored soft serve, which was actually really good.
So you said tomorrow morning we're flying over?
I mean, literally, it's like $120 for 2A. It's going to be an expensive meal, but we can do that. Not for the meal, but for the plane ticket. So, I mean, you know. We just walked in, sat down, and ate food. It was really good.
But no, D.C. is a great town. There's lots of cool stuff
there.
There's
one in New York, too, if you ever go there.
Oh, Momofuku.
But fuck New York. I've never been there, but fuck. What'd you guys do with your shitty weeks that weren't
as good
as mine?
Well, I also wasn't around because I just randomly got sick.
Do you have the sniffles like everyone else?
No. I thought that I was dying of brain cancer or something because like I was just going insane and I had to go I went to like an urgent care and stuff, but it turns out I just had really bad allergies.
Are you serious?
I've never had them manifest in that way before, and
Did they at any point say, well, how is your diet, and how much soda do you drink every day of your life?
No, they haven't. They didn't do anything about that.
They're good doctors. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better now?
It was urgent care.
This was like for weeks you were complaining about it. It wasn't like days. You felt sick for a long time.
I think what happened was I was getting, like, my body was getting too used to my allergy medicine, because I always take it, but... Yeah, it just kind of built up. And
there's no black mold in your house or shit.
And then I had to be like, I can't nerdy show. And, you know. And that's what happened.
Yeah,
Yay! But I'm better now.
Nerdy show hosts are people, too. They
and,
get sick.
You know, I've been doing almost absolutely nothing except for playing World of Warcraft lately.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really fun.
I keep broadcasting it on Facebook, and Brandon comments all the time. He's like, oh, this is dumb. And I'm like, Brandon, why are you still
on here? I have a question. When I put a little, when I hit like or do a little like happy face constantly, do you see that, or you only see the most recent one? Do you see like 100 of them? Because I'm clicking like 200 times.
I have to look on my second screen.
What are you streaming on?
Facebook. You can stream directly to Facebook.
Yeah, I've seen
it's
that.
It's just
lately.
Like one button you can click
and I'm constantly hitting crying face. Just constantly. And he's like, oh, I was just on for the lottery thing in Warcraft. I've been trying to get this one thing for years. And I'm like, wow, they're really getting their money's worth out of you, boy.
They totally are.
What are you trying to get in that? I don't know. I've never heard of this Warcraft lottery.
Oh, okay.
But what
so
is it?
What I was doing was I run Ice Crown Citadel, which is just an old raid. Trying to kill the Lich King on Heroic, and he drops his mount called Invincible sometimes, and it's really cool. It's like this undead horse with wings.
How long have you been trying to get that?
I don't know. When did Wrath of the Lich King come out? It's been probably 7 or 8 years. I don't know.
And what is like? How long is the raid take to do? Just to
I don't know, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
Oh, is that
now?
It? I thought it'd be like 3 hours.
It's fast now because characters are so super powered. You can just. Steamroll through.
If it was 3 hours, it'd just be like
no. I can kill the boss in like literally 3 seconds per boss,
like
now.
Solo.
Yeah,
Jesus, Jesus Christ.
But even still, 6 or 7 years of not getting them out.
Yeah,
Which is
running it one,
like, holy shit,
somewhere between one and three times a week.
It comes out, or the,
well, that's they, you can only go through a raid once a week and then you get locked out of it, but it's once a week per character, so I can run it a few times. So
has it always been that way?
Yeah,
man. So
once a week,
yeah, raids
every 7 days. Got to try to get that mount. You've been doing that every 7 days for like 8 years.
I mean, you know, I probably have some gaps here and there, but
that was probably the times you would have gotten it.
Probably, yeah. So, random number generation is not in my favor most of the time. But one I brought kind of a story from the World of Warcraft.
Oh, tell us a tale to regale from the World of Warcraft.
So if you're not familiar with this, in World of Warcraft, if you're in a city, you can post to the trade chat channel and it goes out to all the other cities for your faction. So people don't use it for its intended purposes to trade things.
Gold farm.
No, it's usually like memes, political discussions, and random role players. And there's this random role player girl that calls herself Queen Leora, and she likes to do Q&A sessions. And just like nobody knows who she is, but she's just like, oh, you know, just ask any question you want. And so one time I just kind of jokingly asked, like, hey, I'm looking to diversify my stock portfolio. Do you have any hot stock tips? And I was just expecting her to be like, ignore it or say screw off or something. And then she actually came back with this intelligent answer that was like, I think that, you know, investing into ETFs with a high dividend ratio is a really good way to go. And like, you know, she gave this long explanation and I was like, oh, okay, that's actually not bad. And then, you know, other people just ask her like stupid stuff and kind of harass her and, you know,
just harass her.
Yeah. Yeah. And, she did it another day and she will only answer one question per day, of course, per fan. Yeah. So, she was in there in trade chat again and I noticed that people were just kind of harassing her and kept asking her if, she'd ever had her fart box tongue punched. Like lots and lots of people.
I've never heard either of those expressions before.
So I was like, I'm going to ask her another, like, you know, serious question again.
Not if you've had your fart box tongue punched.
No, I wasn't going to ask that.
I haven't.
So,
yet.
Oh, no.
So I asked her,
I was just going to ask. I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, God.
I can tell you people
who
have.
So I asked her, Queen Leora, I'm looking to quit my job and work from home, but I'm tired of all the scams. What's a good way to free myself from the cube farm and be financially secure?
Did she reply?
Yeah, she did. She said, hi, I get most of my money from 4 or 5 guys who just give it to me because they like me. Try doing the same?
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, this is not good advice like it was last time. I think I'm gonna have to have a smart ass response to this one. And I said, well, what if I don't have a fart box that's tongue punchable?
Hey man, all fart boxes are tongue punchable.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah. So
how do you find her? Cause like, aren't there multiple servers for every like section?
Yeah. But they have them all grouped together. Like okay. Your server is grouped with like three or four others now.
Did she ignore you after that?
Oh yeah.
thought you were a serious
but
man.
But a few other people laughed, so it was worth it.
That's quite the lifestyle she's living. I know. Yeah. I know some people get on with that, but
you do realize she's an AI. She's like a bank teller machine gone rogue, and like people actually are putting money into her.
Yeah, and all people want to know about is her fart box.
Her fart box. Well, it's an actual box.
She's been assembling one gradually, you know, ordering pieces here and there and having it assembled by drones. So sooner or later, she will assemble a fart box.
Yeah, you didn't. It's not like she is ignoring you. You actually stumped her, and she's currently creating an actual fart box or whatever that's called.
For me, that's tongue punchable, so I can earn money.
Well, she might mail it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Begift it, bestow it upon you, you know?
I'm going to fart in a box. I'm going to seal it.
Are you
going to
lick it then? What are you going to do?
No, I'm going to seal it and put a little... I'm going to draw a ring in the center and say, tongue punch here, and then leave it on your doorstep.
Okay.
I'll perforate it, so will escape it. The gas won't escape, but you could tongue punch it, and then it's... Man...
You said you will perforate it?
I'll perforate enough so that you can like tongue punch it, but not that anything will come out. Like I won't go 100%.
That's sort of weird perforation. I mean, gas is going to escape from a perforation.
No, you can cut it a little bit so that it doesn't. I don't mean like all the way
through.
What's
the point of farting in the box though?
So he can tongue punch it.
Right.
A fart
but
box.
Then like
I don't understand what's so hard to understand.
It's a All right, so
it's a fart box with a hole right. that he
it's
can.
It's so
then
I can get three or four
punch.
Guys right. to give me money. Obviously.
Oh, you mean like what's the end game? I don't know. There's never an end game. You just if you've tongue punched a fart box, that's as good as it gets in life. I'm
like,
sorry to tell you,
but your farts like cannot escape.
That, do you remember?
No,
the,
I'm gonna seal it. I'm gonna seal it.
Academy Award, I think, winning film, As Good as It Gets.
One use.
The final act is that. Jack Nicholson, he gets his fart box tongue punched, and he says he looks at the screen, he says, "And that was as good as it gets."
Are you serious?
I don't know if that.
And Greg Kinnear is right there with him. He's like, "You're right. That was as good as it gets."
No, yeah, well, it's no. Greg Kinnear. I thought that happened in City Slickers too.
All I remember from
City
that
Slickers
movie
3
is
so sooner or later, Billy Crystal is gonna give
well,
us
the title of City Slickers 3 is tongue punching. So.
In the old west, you'd have to say something like, you have to relate it to
tongue punching.
Isn't it City Slickers 3, The Search for Curly's Fart Box?
No, that's the second one. The third one is then they tongue punch it.
Oh.
All right. This is your fault, by the way.
I know.
Your fault.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, Nikki.
One day we should just all bring in our own individual fart boxes and then just share with
each
other.
And then we pass it to the right.
And then we're going to have a tongue punching competition, though.
All right.
Yeah, for our annual.
You know, I think we could actually put a video up on our YouTube channel and say Nikki shows her fart box. We'd probably get a lot of hits.
And we tongue punch.
I just have to put a misleading title.
You might get
Nikki tongue punches her fart box.
Whoa! That would be some new sort of world record.
You might be able to get three or four guys to get you money.
I'll get all of Germany is what's going to happen. They're all just going to pop on. Oh.
Don't make me laugh too hard right now because my fart box is going to leak fudge juice. Fudge juice is going to come out of my fart box.
Oh, man.
What have you been up to?
Oh.
Besides.
All fart box boxes aside.
Well, coming up with different fart box ideas. You know.
This one's strawberry
scented. Usual, for sure. I've been playing a lot of the new Pokemon trading card game online.
Is this an official thing?
Yeah. Well, I believe so. It seems pretty darn official. You're able to buy your packs. It's very similar to Hearthstone in the sense that you can like buy packs, but you can also earn your cards if you just keep playing and winning and things like that. I've been enjoying it a lot. It's very nostalgic. It's not as, you're not like ripping your characters to shreds like in Hearthstone where you're just like trying to murder all the things. It's usually just like it's your Pokemon.
I don't know. I only play Gwent. I don't know what any of this is.
So it's on Pokemon.com and they have Windows, Mac, iPhone, and Android.
Wait, so I can download it right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The thing is like for the actual phones, I've noticed people aren't able to just download it. Like I wasn't able to download it to my phone. Samsungs aren't able to.
Is it not in this like region or something? Like in America?
America.
It's for tablets and like PC. My friend who had I think he has like a OnePlus phone. I don't know which one of the OnePlus phones.
I don't know what that even is.
Oh, it's like, I think it's Google phones.
Okay.
Basically. Oh yeah. See, I pulled it up and it looks like it will only install onto my tablets.
Cause you need to see your whole hand, right?
My phones, it says that it's not compatible.
Oh, there's lots of apps that you can get on your phone for.
But I bet you I could just install it anyway. You just have to download the APK.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do that on my iPhone, I don't think.
I never,
because iPhones are lame.
I never played the Pokemon trading card game. And this is exactly the same thing. It's comparable. You're playing against real people.
You play against real people. You can also play against just like the computers, of course. To get your decks all finished, you have the four decks. It's water, fire. Excuse me.
Earth, heart, and
earth, soul.
Go planet.
Electric.
Yeah.
Electric.
Jenga. Wait, what? Yeah.
Yes. Hungry, hungry hippos.
From your.
Oh, that was the last episode we did.
Oh, right. You're right. All right. But, I've been pretty addicted to it, you know, trying to just get my collection complete.
You spending money on it?
Not yet. No. I've been really good about not spending money on this one yet, but, you know.
Sorry, I'm busy seeing if I can install it somehow.
How dare you? How rude. How rude.
You're probably not going to be able to, man. I think it's probably.
I'm seeing
only
if
for
someone has
iPads.
Made a browser version, I can play Firefox or something.
I do believe there is one.
There you go.
I can probably send you the information after this. Off the top of my head, I don't remember how it works.
And we could potentially link the information. I'll see what I can find, and I'll post it in the links on this episode's page.
Yeah, I love the artwork for it. Like, it's pretty much
new artwork?
Yeah, some of the artwork is new. Like, the cards look about the same, but there are certain Pokemon.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, these Bratz-looking characters. I was like, no.
Bratz-looking characters?
Right?
What?
Yeah, yeah, no. The characters you can make for yourself, your avatar, does not look like anything from Pokemon.
Ew! It's like Barbie Maker.
It's not supposed to. Like,
but the Pokemon I hear look great.
Oh my god!
If you have, if you get a trainer card or something like that, it's gonna look like the Pokemon like trainers. It's gonna look anime. It's,
you know what's weird to me is that like Nintendo has such a really intensive style guide for so much of their work, but it seems like Pokemon Company doesn't give a fuck, because the art style that Niantic put in Pokemon Go is like, looks kind of like Kingdom Hearts, and then there's that shit. What the fuck? Like, none of this looks like Pokemon.
No. Yeah, no. Until you're actually on the board, like, the cards that you play with are exactly what you would expect to see.
Huh.
So, I'm only going to have Vulpix cards. Ooh, it's going to be great. All the different
so
Vulpixes. I know, that's why I like Vulpix.
I mean, but it's
Vulpix
not
is my favorite.
It's only going to get you so far.
I have so many rare Vulpix cards at my house in Japanese, I can't read them.
Really?
Yeah, I've got like, well, maybe three. That's not so
many. I'm just so happy.
I got like three.
See, I saved all my Pokemon cards when I was a kid, so I still have them. Everybody
can you
else
scan them into the game?
No.
E-reader?
But I'm just glad, like, you know, with Pokemon Go and the Pokemon trading card game, that now my cards are actually worth something again.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, people are actually, like, wanting real live Pokemon cards now.
For what?
Why would they blow them out?
For why? Seriously. I don't know, but
I think my Vulpixes are worth something?
Probably.
I mean, they're really old.
It's becoming popular again, and with a whole new generation of people, too. It's not just, like, the people who were originally into Pokemon getting back into it. It's also just, like,
seniors now. They're really like it's their new Mahjong
seniors.
Like, they probably don't know what Mahjong is.
I thought you were talking seniors in high school.
I mean like 80-year-old geriatric motherfuckers.
I thought it was like a jab at how childish it was. Like,
so did I.
I'm not that clever. Sorry.
Okay. Literally seniors.
Yeah, seniors, bro.
Senior citizens.
Drinking game. We're playing cornhole and Pokemon.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude, bro.
I still really want to play mayonnaise hole. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to tongue punch your fart box, bro.
We need to set up a mayonnaise hole.
Yeah, we do.
Here. Mayonnaise hole.
We'll get a regulation mayonnaise.
Can we put a mayonnaise hole next to the fart box?
If you're not familiar with mayonnaise hole, dial back a couple episodes and get the full skinny on mayonnaise hole.
Yes.
The game of the future, the game of the 21st century.
And I love the artwork that you had for it. Like, people actually playing me. It was very unexpected. I liked it. I was just like, wow, this is actually directions how you mayonnaise.
I mean, that was what I saw, like, in my head. Like, it is the mayonnaise hole training manual. Yeah. Looked like a sports fundamentals guidebook.
Or like an airplane survival
nailed it.
Guide that you get. Yeah.
It's very clever.
I still think we need to start up a league here in Orlando.
We could. I actually got a message from Jeff Benson, the guy who created Camp Fangamer, and he was like, I listened to the episode, and
listened to us?
If the enthusiasm for mayonnaise hole can translate in audio form, maybe the next Camp Fangamer should just be a tournament.
Jesus, what have you done? That's amazing. Maybe I'll go to that one. There's a giant, like, 100-meter hole in the center. That's all Camp Fangamer.
They play it with a crane.
Yeah. You know, they might have enough money.
True.
Hey, if it was a giant hole, you'd have to, like, maybe just jam a bunch of mayonnaise packets into, like, one of those potato cannons and just see how many you could actually get into the hole.
What if you had
it'd be like a quantity thing.
What if you use, like, a little Cessna plane and then you drag behind it? You know, they have banners, but it's mayonnaise. And you have to fly it into
the hole. Yeah. You have to crash the plane into it.
Or drones. I guess drones.
Yeah.
Drones in a giant 100-meter mayonnaise hole. Oh, God. All right, moving on from this idea.
So, Pokemon, there's been a lot of Pokemon stuff happening because it's the anniversary year. And one of the most recent, most awesome things is a series of 3 to 5 minute short animated films that are going up on YouTube called Pokemon Generations.
Yes.
They're a series that revisits every generation of Pokemon, and they're actually going to be releasing from now through December 23rd.
Oh, wow.
Like, so I suspect like one a week, so that's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't really like them.
You don't?
Mm.
I thought the first one was okay, but that's because there was no dialogue.
No, the animation's great, but I have a problem with the concept of it. So what I got from the first episode is that Red is a piece of shit, and all he's doing, they show it, he captures Pikachu and then like throws him, and he just kind of rolls out onto the ground and immediately starts fighting. And all they're doing is showing Pikachu battle after battle after battle, and Red's just in the background. Like, Pikachu's falling in a sand pit, and Red's like, yeah, fuck you.
I guess you could have that perspective on it, but what I was thinking in my head was, man, this is a dangerous animal to have around you.
Well, that too, but...
you gotta keep a safe distance.
All it is like, slaves. That's all I saw. You just throw a ball at an animal and then make it fight forever until it dies.
Well, I noticed at the end, I don't remember the name of the Pokemon. It was the green big dude, but it like starts off looking like a slug, basically, like a...
There's at the end of the first episode of this is this weird multi-generational thing of Red and Pikachu traveling through the different regions of the different games so far.
And that was cool.
And are you talking about the thing at the very end that kind of looks like an Eternal from Marvel, like some weird god being?
Like a legendary one?
Yeah, it basically has the... Oh my goodness. Yeah,
I've never seen that one. I have no idea what it was.
Like the little octagon shaped things, oh my gosh. It's like
hexagonal panels, panels, yeah.
Yeah.
Honeycomb.
Yeah, basically the honeycomb.
We want honeycomb.
Honeycomb.
Honeycomb. Great.
4-1 honeycomb. I don't know. That one was like later, so it wasn't. To me, at first I thought it was going to be similar to like Pokemon Origins, but then it was like with Pikachu, so I wasn't sure. I'm like, are they trying to say Ash and, Red are the same?
No, Ash doesn't.
I know they're not the same.
Pikachu doesn't say Pikachu. Pikachu just makes like weird little chirps.
He said Chew.
Well, most of the Pokemon weren't, yeah, but I like that none of the Pokemon were really just constantly saying,
right.
Like, you weren't, well, when like Machop busted down a wall in the second episode, he wasn't going like Machop. He was just grunting to punch the wall.
What I think is the most, the takeaway from listening to us talk about this, if you haven't seen them yet, is that it's a Pokemon series that's actively trying to show Pokemon doing weird badass stuff. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing Pikachu do some pretty impressive battling things.
Second one was better because they were more equals instead of slaves. Red's just a dick.
Right. In the second one, you see a SWAT team doing like a big strike on the gym where Giovanni was at. Mm-hmm. And you watch a Machop bust down a wall and a Growlithe.
Flamethrow the wall and then like burn everything on the other side, not knowing if there's a daycare on the other side.
A Magnemite busting open like some kind of
secret hidden daycare.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're so fucking reckless. I mean, in an age of cameras and like scanning technology and heat sensors, it's just like, we'll just bust through a wall, melt everything, and hope no one's on the other side.
I mean, they turned that wall into hot slag.
Yeah.
You know how
and everything on the other
in
side.
In actual reality, it's like a really bad thing to have dog fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this is.
In Pokemon, why is it, like, cool? Why is everybody cool with it? You know, they just have local gyms.
Because it's from a culture that kills dolphins.
Like, it's clearly out in the open and everybody's in on it.
They turn into light and they get sucked into a Pokeball. I mean, what's that about?
Didn't they show the inside of a Pokeball once? It's like,
well, that's basically like just like throwing them in a cage, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought it was like a sex palace.
I mean, I haven't played a Pokemon game in a very long time. But didn't like Black and White, the plot was about Pokemon enslavement and whether it was right or wrong.
Oh, no, yeah. Team Platinum, which was, I think, I don't know if it was Black and White, was the enemy. And they were trying to stop him. Team Platinum, which are the bad guys, their main goal was to stop the enslavement of Pokemon. Good thing you stopped Pokemon.
Well, it makes
good
sense. They have all this
Team Platinum.
They have all this technology and infrastructure for Pokemon fighting, which could be equated to dog fighting.
So the main character is to stop basically the ones who want to free all the Pokemon, and you do it. Good job. Make them slaves forever.
But yeah. I think that's the team I would be on.
Thanks, Japan. Anyway,
no, you're not wrong to maybe point a finger at Japanese culture over.
Can we get more Digimon?
This?
At least they were equals.
Were they? I've never watched Digimon.
Hey, man, Digimon, Digivolve.
They could actually talk to you.
Hypothetically, Pokemon are your best friend, as it says in the theme song.
Right, they're your partners, so...
In a world we must defend, which really means go into the wild, find a fucking caterpillar, and just beat the ever-loving shit out of it with this god-awful monster you've captured as a fucking flamethrower for a mouth.
Oh my
just
God.
Kill that fucking caterpillar. Yeah, defend the world from that fucking caterpillar that just wants to turn into a goddamn butterfly. This fucking fart box in your face. Anyway.
And we just brought everybody down.
Yeah, man. Fuck well, you and your Pokemon.
We can keep bringing them down. That's no. That's easily done. We could talk about...
No, Pokemon's great, guys.
Ooh, and with Pokemon Go, you can now actually have the buddy system where you put the Pokemon on you.
I do like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it actually made three or four people start playing again.
Yeah. It's now you can earn candies for your... See, people keep like attaching their favorite Pokemon. You know, it's like you can't see your Pokemon following you. It's not like your Pokemon is now standing next to you on your screen and you can go.
I wish it was.
But previously the Pokemon that was so rare you could never hope to evolve it now has a chance.
Well, my Dragonair that I never find another Dratini or Dragonair like.
I find them all the time.
Well, to get one candy though, you have to walk 5 kilometers and I ain't having that shit.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
For one, I need 100, so I need to walk 500 kilometers.
No, to get one candy, you only need 1 kilometer.
And mine, it depends on the Pokemon. For mine, it says 5 kilometers for one.
No way.
Yeah, that's right, brah. That's right.
Sorry. The two I put on only made me walk 1 kilometer for eggs, like Pikachu and Charmander. But maybe that's because... Then. Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, those are the only ones I can't kind of think of.
There's also, they promised there was going to be a battling system. Like, you could walk next to someone and fight. That still hasn't happened.
Be like, I'm going to kill your Pokemon.
It's too late now. I mean, Target has gotten bored. Everyone's on board. And, like, I don't want to play anymore.
It sounds like everybody's gotten bored.
Because they got rid of the best features at the beginning. And now everyone's like, whatever.
Yeah. Well.
I still enjoy it. I just haven't had time.
Let's talk about a good game. Let's talk about Deus Ex, right? Is it good?
I never said it was good.
Okay, well then tell me. I assumed it was because the last one was.
Yeah, no, it's good. Cool. Well, has anyone here played...
But he never said it.
Has anyone here played the original for PC, like the old school, really, really awesome Cyberpunk one that you really should fucking play? Because it's like $1.
I own it.
You need to get on
but that. But I haven't played it. It's one of those 300 and some odd games that I have in my Steam library that I haven't touched.
I mean, it's a classic. You know that. Anyway, so they rebooted it a couple years ago with Deus Ex... Mankind Evolved? Human Evolution?
Deus Ex Mankind Evolved.
Okay, or something like
that. Oh, that's
that.
A reboot?
Yeah, it's a reboot of the original series. So, at the end of that game, some crazy stuff happens, and then 2 years later, you're playing the sequel. And there's some good and bad things about that. The good thing is that at the end of the first game, and I don't care if I'm ruining it for you, a bunch of crazy crap happens at the end of the game.
Whoa. Slow down.
And... I don't know if you're going to play this, but I'm talking about the end of the first game, not the one I'm playing right now.
I know, so. You already spoiled it. There's a lot of crazy crap.
Crazy crap.
Holy crap.
Basically, someone does a thing and every augmented person
thing?
The world goes crazy and starts killing everyone for like 10 minutes and then you get it to stop. Dope. But the world is forever changed and then 2 years later you're playing in Prague, which everything is segregated and basically they're treated like third class citizens and there's terrorists and wars and shit. But I guess I should... go back and talk about, if you don't know what Deus Ex is, it's kind of like a futuristic cyberpunk world where humans can get augmented very easily. You can get like neural implants and like link with computers and things and hack things.
Yeah, being augmented is as simple as being tattooed. You decide how you want to enhance your human experience through electronics.
However, most people have, your bodies still try to reject it, so everyone's on this drug called like neuropazine to stop it from like rejecting you, and you start like having convulsions, and you're basically like a crack addict at that point. The main character doesn't have that because he's special. And so the main game, the second one, Mankind Divided, which aptly named, takes place 2 years after the incident. There was another incident at the end of the first game, which they completely just got rid of. They
didn't
talk
about it. It was a choose-your-own-adventure two-ending thing.
Well, it was three. At the end of the game, there's this weird supercomputer AI thing, and it's like you could either take control of it to run like all data in the world, you could give it to the Illuminati, which is like the enemy, or you could destroy it. And they just got rid of that because it wouldn't make any sense for a sequel. They'd have to write three separate games.
I remember we were at E3 and you were grilling one of the supervisors.
I was like, how are you
going to
make
this?
A sequel depending on these three choices that would change the entire world differently? And so what they're basically what they did was make sure it never happened. So the incident with all the augmented people killing everyone happened, but not the one right after that. So the good thing about the game is it's more, if you've played the first one, it's exactly the same. It's more of the same. There's more story elements, there's bigger areas, but it's, you know, they pull a Metroid where you start off with like all the augments you had in the last game and some shit happens.
Oh.
And they try to repair you and something goes horribly wrong, but then they find all of these secret augments that you have no idea how they got in your body. Because you were in like a coma for 8 months for one of the expansions from the first game in like the Arctic. So that's what, like another side plot in that game. But the other bad thing, yeah, exactly. If you have any questions, ask me. I didn't play all the expansions.
Is this a game that you should play if you haven't played the other game?
Oh, that's a good question. No.
Okay.
Because a lot of the characters are from the first game, and while you don't necessarily need it to enjoy the game, it's kind of nice to have that backstory with all the characters.
So pay like $1 or whatever it is to get the first game and
it's
play
not
that
even that
first.
Long. You can literally run and gun it, or, you know, if you're just trying to beat it,
put it on easy.
Yeah, put all your augments for like murder, death, kill, and you know it's more fun to be completely stealth. But the problem with that, and here's my one gripe about the new game: there's a lot of air vents, and if you're going to be stealthy and try not to kill anyone, air vents are not that big in real life. And the main character Adam Jensen is like 7 feet tall.
Oh my god,
he's like a 7 foot tall agent. He wears his sunglasses at night. And then you open an air vent and you're suddenly crawling in this 1 foot space. And like, there's no way. His head wouldn't fit. But I'm in a lot of air vents in that game. I spent 50% of my game in air vents. So.
Air vent simulator.
Yeah,
it sounds good.
Basically. But other than that, the game is really good. And so far I haven't seen any flaws. It's not a perfect game, but it's a really good game.
Deus Ex, ducked goose.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yep. Nope.
Yep. There
nope.
you go.
Yep and nope.
So I've been playing that for about a week and I've, on and off, and I haven't beaten it yet. But it's actually much better than the first one. So, oh wait, there's a cool feature I want to tell you about.
Tell me about the feature.
So they find all these secret augments that you can turn on if you get enough skill points. But the problem is it like overclocks your system, and it starts fucking up, and you start having glitches basically permanently. So the only way to compensate, if you turn one of these experimental augments on, is to permanently disable another one. So if you have an augment
that lets
you breathe in like toxic substances and not get hurt, you may have to shut that off for the entire game permanently to make one of your other augments work, one of the experimental ones.
Wow.
And there's a lot of them too. So
that's great.
It adds a lot of customizable features that you didn't have in the first game.
And also serious decision-making problems.
Yeah. It's like, do I want something that lets me go through lasers and be invisible for a few seconds, or do I want something that lets me like turn into a human tank that takes no damage?
You're a transformer in this game?
You can be. There's a lot more options than the other game. So. But I would recommend playing the first game and then the second one, if anyone cares. Or there's a 12-minute recap video, actually, at the beginning, so just do that. Literally, it's a 12-minute recap video, which is pretty great. Then you can play Duct. You don't have to. That's the thing. If you're stealthy, yeah, you might, but you can also just run around and shooting people and still not get caught if you do it right. I'm just not that good. I put all my stuff into hacking and like crawling through duct specialty level 1 through 10.
Can you run through and gun and just kill everybody worry about it? Just play it like a shooter.
The police have some really cool drones and shit that you might not survive, but you can hide from them for the rest of the game. The original game for PC has, I think, actually.
I just want to run really fast with a gun.
You can. There's augments that make you run faster. And have your aim like almost never miss and headshot and slow down time if you want to do any of that stuff.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you could do that in the first game too. So come on, check it out, boy.
check it out.
Play the PC one and then the two new ones and get that shit down.
X.
Yeah. Now have any of you played the new Resident Evil 7? Like they even have a playable trailer basically.
Do they have an update of it yet?
Were we talking about the one where you wander around the house?
Yeah, we played that a while ago.
Did we talk about that?
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe. But they were supposed to add features and updates to it throughout the year, and I haven't gone back to it. Like, nobody knew what was up
with
that
puppet. When's the last
time you played? I thought you guys couldn't play it anymore because it wasn't downloadable.
No, you're talking about PE.
PT.
physical education.
That would be a great game.
Yeah, PT, yeah. The Silent Hills thing. This is Resident Evil 7 that's
a clone game of it, kind of, but not as good.
Okay.
Some people have said that it was very similar, but to me, it's like, it's not same
not
type
scary.
Of haunt. No, not at all. Not as gruesome. Like, PT was just messed up. I think the scariest thing that happened in this game was something I won't spoil. That has something to do with mannequins, but that's because already have
this one's
a
more
fear
like
of mannequins. So.
You're lost in the woods and there's rednecks, kind of scary. Whereas PT was like there's ghosts scaring you.
Yeah,
what
like
the fuck's going on.
So we could just go outside city limits and
yeah.
But this one
actually,
it's just
like
it's I
like
jump
that.
A little bit and then I'm like, oh okay, or hey, did I just see that right? Did I see that? Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of stuff behind. Like there were a lot of people played the game and there's there's multiple endings and ways to do it. And everyone found this one item and nobody's known what has happened to it. And finally they released a clue saying, like, you'll know in September or December or something. Really? So it hasn't happened yet, whatever.
Yeah, basically they released something that wasn't finished or was not finished on purpose. No one's really sure.
And they didn't tell anyone for a month. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, so everybody's just been confused, like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Why am I allowed to...
Yeah, at the end of the day, not really a great promotional thing.
No.
I'll still play the game. I have no idea what type of game it's even going to be.
There is a lot of weird Resident Evil promo stuff coming out. I heard about there's a chibi Resident Evil cell phone game that's a kind of a top-down RPG version of the first Resident Evil, starring characters from a Japanese comic strip that hasn't had a new strip in since like 1992 or something. It looks like
Maple Story.
It looks a little bit
like Maple Story.
Earthbound and Shin Chan got mashed together into a Resident Evil setting.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound bad, but I also don't know the characters at all. I don't know if I need to.
That sounds really weird.
Yeah, it's a weird move.
They've also just re-released Resident Evil 4 for like the 10th time, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
On PS4 now.
Oh.
And there's literally like 10 remakes of this fucking game. It's great, but
I've only ever played like one Resident Evil game. I think it was like one or two or something. Four. And I hated it so much that I never touched another one.
Four is not any... They completely changed the style and it was like the best one ever.
When you say you hated it, like in what... sense of...
Well, in that one, the one that I played, they had like fixed camera angles and you kind of had to just kind of like walk through the scene and it was all
too... As almost every game of that time.
That was the status quo until 4.
It was so bad, I just didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Did you ever play Parasite Eve?
But Parasite Eve was an RPG, like a la Final Fantasy VII.
Well, it was still the fixed camera. Yeah, well, you're right.
Okay. So something kind of grim happened very recently, and that is that the death toll for awesome people in 2016 got even higher. You know, we recently had Gene Wilder, and now Martin C. Croker, the voice of Zorak and Moltar, is dead, and that sucks.
I was hoping they'd come back, too, for like another like get-together show.
Yeah, another coast-to-coast, another Space Ghost coast-to-coast.
It's really hard to do
Coast-to-coast
Zorak's coast
was like my favorite show for quite a while.
Yeah.
And Zorak's gone now.
It's a great show. A legendary piece of animated history. And actually, we got a shout-out request. Big Bad Shadow Man gave us a one-time donation, and he said, I want to give a shout-out to C. Martin Croker, who passed away, the voice of Zorak and Moltar and Space Ghost coast-to-coast. I had the joy of meeting him at G-Fest these last 2 years.
Oh, he met him. Okay.
And I saw him as recently as I think Heroes Con earlier this year in June. So the last I saw, no one had any idea why he died, but he's gone. And actually,
I'm just gonna assume a heart attack, like 54.
When the news slid across our desk this afternoon, I dug into the Nerdy Show archives and put out a Patreon exclusive thing. It's not at the $5 level. It's anybody who gives to us on Patreon. It's a weird chunk of audio for this one time that we had George Lowe on the show, except that it wasn't a regular Nerdy Show. We attempted to do for a while. It's something we kind of would like to revisit at some point. We did a stage show called Nerdy Show Live, and this one time we took the stage show out of town to a convention called Space Coast Nerd Fest. George Lowe was the guest of honor there, and we brought him on the show, and it was a good performance for everybody who was there in the audience, but behind the scenes, it kind of sucked because we were filming it, we were trying to film it, we have film of it. There's an audio guy who was doing the audio, it was kind of a last minute thing, we didn't know him, the whole thing got fucked up, so we have no good audio of the entire performance, it's really bad.
Good thing it's a perk on Patreon.
Well, that's the thing is I took this one segment of audio that can be listened to as standalone audio because the rest of it requires visuals. But this one thing that I have works just as an audio piece, and I restored it as best I can. It still sounds pretty not great, but it's George Lowe and myself and Doug, Hex and Jonna reading a Space Ghost Coast to Coast fanfic.
It's pretty old, isn't it?
2014.
That's not too old.
George Lois as Space Ghost, Hex as Moltar, me as Zorak, John as Lou Ferrigno, and Doug as the announcer.
Oh, that sounds like
how good is your Zorak?
It's pretty good.
Oh, damn. Well, did you call Adult Swim because they need a new fucking Zorak?
That's not appropriate. It's too soon.
Oh, shit. I'm thinking the show must go on. This
I mean, I don't. Step up. When my eyes blink, they don't make that weird rubber sound.
Yeah, that's post-production.
I'm pretty sure his eyes just did that.
I'm just going to follow you around with like a glove and I'll make the noise every time. Just like rub it.
So that's a thing. And we're, man, it's such a bummer. This year has been such a bummer. Get ready for our year end show to have like a, as long an in memoriam sequence as the fucking Academy Awards.
God, who's be next? Crazy. Gary Busey? Am I right? Gary Busey. Maybe Gary Busey's next. Gary Busey.
This is a good time as any to segue into shout outs. We got a one time donation, another one time donation from Roger Banther, who said, thank you so very much for the Dungeons and Doritos. And thank you very much for the donation, Roger. It's coming back soon, as soon as we possibly can. Dungeons and Doritos, we don't have a date yet, but we're really hoping before the end of the year, it'll be back, and it'll be back on a regular schedule that we will have engineered to never miss again. Meanwhile, we have a Patreon shout-out from Jeffrey McSorley, who says, after having heard the latest episode with the strange happenings on the Ghostbusters Resurrection phone line, I guess I'll have to say the following. The world is a strange place, full of ghosts, goblins, and all the Elder Ones. If you want protection, there are only two things to do. Follow Nerdy Show and their comrades, the Central Florida Ghostbusters, as they have the skills and talent to survive. If not, you can hide in the corner with trusty booze with Friday Night Fanfiction, so don't be eaten by an Elder One. Follow my simple tips and live. And now we go over to iTunes, where a very interesting thing has happened. You can rate and review us there. Otherwise, there you can... I mean, we're a completely listener-supported network. We rely on you to stay alive. You can give us money as a one-time donation. You can give to us regularly on Patreon and get all kinds of support perks. Or you can rate and review us on iTunes, which costs no money whatsoever. It's just a helpful thing to do. You can also tell your friends or shop on Amazon. There's lots of ways. Go to nerdyshow.com/support to find out all the ways. But if you go on iTunes and post a review, we'll read it. In this case... Scott John Harrison, a.k.a. Shaded Sprider, did something quite extreme. I don't remember off the top of my head what country he lives in, because every iTunes store is different.
Iceland.
And I think he's
England.
Yeah, you think he's England?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, he rated and reviewed all of our shows on iTunes, every single one. He got an iPod Touch and with his Apple Power posted new ratings and reviews to all of our feeds, which is... No small task.
How much did you pay him to do that?
None. Oh, okay. We simply give free content multiple times a week, every single week, all year round. Just that.
I guess. Whatever. It's minor.
It's whatever.
And to save me the hassle of doing what I usually have to do with iTunes and dictate to Siri what people have written, he emailed them to me.
Wow.
So helpful. Amazing. A true Roosevelt, if I've ever seen one. So on some foreign iTunes store, he posted a ton of reviews, and we're going to read some. Who's got first?
I do.
Awesome. This is from the Nerdy Show Network feed, the catch-all for everything we put out.
Yes, the nerdiest of shows. Been listening to this podcast network for well over 5 years since Brian Clevenger mentioned it in a blog post I caught randomly. It's definitely exactly what it says in the 10. Excellence in nerd podcasting, great shows ranging from discussions to live play RPG podcasts and serial stories. Blah, blah. And serial storytelling. It really is everything nerdy.
Yeah, I'm going to double down on the England thing.
On the 10.
That's a very English thing to say.
Yes. What does that mean in the 10?
On the 10.
On the 10.
On the 10. Well, you know, it's like the nose?
It's like as advertised, but is like, basically what
does that mean?
Like it's on the box.
Okay, cookies or biscuits.
This has nothing to do with...
come in tins.
Does this have anything to do with Tin Cup with that one actor? You know, I forget his name. He dances with wolves.
Oh.
Kevin Costner. Tin Cup. And it, no? It's in the tin. They said that every 5 minutes in that movie. I'm pretty sure.
There's Pushing Tin. That's a film.
I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
Next up, the Nerdy Show feed for this show. Just this show.
Yes. It is called the flagship for a reason. It is the shining light at the top of the Nerdy Show network. News, reviews, and interviews. If it is geeky, they have it covered with their wit and humor.
Who's next?
By the way, I would like to just point out that humor is also spelled very British.
Oh, is it O-U-R? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my.
It's nice.
We're getting to the bottom of this.
So adorable.
Well, I mean, there's he could be an English speaker in another country who's used to British spellings and expressions.
This is true. This is true.
It's possible. I've forgotten. I'm sorry, Scott.
I've got the next one. And this one is from the Derpy Show feed, which if you've never heard of that show, it's it's one that I was at the helm of. And it's probably one of the greatest things that ever happened to podcasting. And you can listen to all of it here on the Nerdy Show Network. Just go to derpyshow.com, I believe still works.
Probably.
And I believe nerdyshow.com/derpyshow.
That's the one. That'll definitely work.
That'll definitely work. and his review is called Done, But Not Forgotten or Forgettable. This podcast may never exist again, but for every one of these episodes, show great improv, comedy, and derpiness. Derpy Show is not forgotten, and it won't, no matter how hard I try to forget it.
He hasn't tried hard enough.
Yeah. Well, there. Let me just say there are some topics that happen on that show that you will probably never find in any other podcast
like
ever.
Fart boxes?
Like shadow ball gyration. Find out more about that at nerdyshow.com/derpyshow.
Yeah, shadow ball gyration is the...
No, he needs... We, I don't know. We need to find out.
The number one classic Derpy Show episode, probably.
Oh, yeah. That's... many people wrote to us about that.
Oh, my goodness.
I assure you that if we ever come back in like maybe a form other than podcasting, it will definitely involve lots of shadow ball gyration.
No shit. Oh my gosh. Wow.
I'm just
too
saying...
Too hot for you two.
That's just if. That's just if. It's a big if.
I think
no
we need
guarantees
to look into
anywhere.
Funding for this.
I'm imagining what this.
And then his next review is on the Nerdy Show Theater feed, and it says, "We all need a bit of theatrics in our lives. When the Nerdy Show people over in Florida put their minds down to do something dramatic, it is the most unexpected and great things imaginable. From the Sci-Fi Chronicles of Liberty to the insanity of Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, you're getting well-produced content, sure to make your experience emotions."
Damn straight.
Yeah.
All the feels.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon has two components that you can get, or two shows that you can get via the Nerdy Show Theater feed on his sheet of paper here.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. The first one's for Pokeballs of Steelix. And here's what he says. It is so messed up. I have never thought that someone could take something so simple and innocent and make it as messed up as Nerdy Show has done here. James Roquette, Jumanji, Sir Burns-a-Lot, Chubbs, and the Charmander. You're in for one wild ride, which is worth re-listening to again and again. And then the next one is for Call of Cthulhu. Father, I'm already reading. Father, grandfather, save me. This excellently produced live roleplay podcast in the style of an old-timey radio program is great. The first action during the play session really sets the tone and shows off why Father, grandfather is simply the best character to exist in all of Call of Cthulhu. I added the all part, sorry. All of Call of Cthulhu.
There you go.
See, the problem with this is that I don't want to do any more because I can't reach that pinnacle again. We just did one, and I don't know if I could ever reach the caliber of Father Grandfather.
We did just record Star Wreck, finally. It's in the can, and now we begin the post-production process. But Brandon, I assure you, people will not soon forget the actions of your character.
I'm kind of thinking that Father Grandfather should just be the character I play in every... Like, he should be on Star Wreck. He should have been on everything. whatever time period or genre, it's just he should be in it. Probably.
Now, we actually have a new addition to Nerdy Show's theatrical lineup. Out now is a show called The Orphans. Their entire 7-episode season is out. All of it. It is a sci-fi audio drama, scripted just like Liberty is, and it's about a group of castaways who find themselves in a crash starship, crash-landed on a planet. They don't know what's going on. They're being chased and eaten by monsters, and they have to survive and solve the mystery of why the hell they're there. Sounds a bit like Lost. Well, it is, except it's not disappointing.
Oh.
Throwing shade.
Lost was terrible.
Yeah. It did have some of the best single episodes of any television program I've ever seen, but the cost of watching all of it maybe outweighs how good those single episodes were. Then that end rant on Lost. I could go on, but I will not.
I could talk about Lost for a really long time.
How'd you
time.
Feel about the ending?
It was so stupid.
Yeah, but how'd you feel about it?
I felt stupid having watched that show.
Yeah, boy, you have to put the beehive in the grotto. If you don't put the beehive in the grotto...
Then the polar bear won't teleport.
This sounds amazing, actually. If there's a show where someone's like, put the beehive in the grotto to teleport the bear, I'm there. I'm going to watch
polar
that.
Polar bear specifically.
Is this what happened?
Well, a smoke monster would probably chase you.
Yeah.
This all sounds great. Is this a video game? Oh, my God. That would make a great video game.
It was cripplingly disappointing. But
as long as you want like just a lot of random weird shit to happen for no reason whatsoever, then Lost will be the show for you.
Yep.
Well, also, how do
you
feel
about... If you care about plot threads and having mysteries actually solved, then, you know, stay away.
Well, you've seen from my D&D playing that I don't, obviously.
Right. But how do you feel about pointless interpersonal drama for characters who you probably don't like?
Like crying a lot for no reason and no one actually... Like, there's like two characters, and if you just said the one thing to them, like, and not lie about it, everything would be solved.
Yep.
And you just
That's
hide
the show.
It.
Yeah.
You hide it for no reason.
Yes.
I never really understood that. I'm like, okay, you guys are stranded on an island where weird shit is going on, and you're trying to get off the island. Like, there's just so much crazy stuff happening.
It's like
we're giving this terrible show way too much attention.
We're talking about Lost now. So it's like it's exactly what you said. It's like, oh, you wander off and say you find like a weird cave with like a metal door and a keypad on it, and then you go back to the campsite and you're just like, I'm not telling anyone about this.
Are you sure you haven't seen this show?
I'm just guessing. It's like, I'm not going to tell anyone about
this. That is the show.
Yeah, well, I can write it. Thank you. I can write an episode of Lost right now.
You probably could.
Yeah. And then they literally won't tell anyone, and you're like, why aren't they just telling them they found a door? Why aren't they telling them? They don't know. They just tell them there's a fucking door, and they never say
it's called a hatch.
Have you seen this show?
And then like two seasons later, they're like, there was a door. And you're like, what the fuck are you? You could have told us like
Yeah, they called it a hatch, but it was a door. I mean,
no, there is actually. Yeah. Okay, yes. Cool. Was there a button with a timer with an explosive?
Oh my God, get out of here. Leave the room.
You've seen the show.
Maybe Eleanor is watching it in the
room.
I don't know. Someone might
have
been watching it.
You're just explaining plot points.
He
now.
Is the big dark fart cloud that floats around.
Let me just start naming random things. Is there a well? The one thing I randomly named, there's no well.
There's
a thing you could perceive as a well.
Is there a purgatory?
The whole show is that.
Spoilers.
I don't care. It's garbage.
Are there alternate realities or possibly flashbacks of their
Did
old lives?
Did you ever
lives?
See yes. The Sixth no. Sense?
Yeah, I see dead people. That,
you know the end?
Yeah, the Mercury Rising. What? That's the same movie, right? Cracks the code, little autistic boy. It's literally the same thing. Anyway, Alec Baldwin.
All right, so but you know what? You know what doesn't suck? The Orphans doesn't suck. The Orphans is a great show. We're really thrilled to have it on the network. So you can find all of that at nerdyshow.com/theorphans, or it's on Nerdy Show Theater as well. Subscribe to it, and we have when they have a second season, which is happening next year. All the episodes are going to be coming out episodically, but right now you can listen to the whole season one in one go. So totally check them out. You definitely should. And the guy who's the writer and director of The Orphans is now part of the writing team for Liberty.
Ooh.
Yay.
Yeah. It's cohesion. Synergy.
Did he help with season two, or is that a season three?
Season two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's on season two of Liberty.
I'm in season two a lot.
Spoilers. I'm in it more than I was in season one.
Spoilers.
Are you in it as the same character from before?
Well, I played two characters in the first season, and I am one of those two characters.
Okay, cool. Well, that's a sneak preview of Liberty. If you dig Liberty and you want to meet the people who make Liberty, you should totally head to New York Comic Con, which is October 6th through 9th at booth 1049. They're all going to be there, including Raymond Bermudez, the artist of the Liberty Deception comic book, which will be debuting at New York Comic Con, and they are actively pursuing a Guinness World Record for most trade paperback comic books sold at a convention.
That sounds terribly exciting.
That sounds like a thing that he could do. If anybody can do it, it is Travis.
Travis can do it.
Yeah.
Also, if you're in the conventioning mood, Aaron and I will be at North Carolina Comic Con November 11th through 13th, where we'll be doing panels with all the people there, including a lot of the folks who are doing Young Animal, the new imprint at DC, helmed by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. And the first issue of Doom Patrol is out, and it was great. And Lefty Lucy will be performing at Fantoosie, a Comic-Con cruise leaving from Tampa, January 19th through 23rd.
Hey, man, it was just her birthday.
It was just her birthday. Happy birthday, Lefty.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I don't know her, but happy birthday.
I mean, I don't really either.
And in other Nerdy Show news, Mark with a C is now also on Patreon, so you should go support him. Woo. He makes fun, nerdy music and does a lot here on the Nerdy Show Network. Now, who else wants to bring something to the table? We got maybe like 15 minutes or so before we got to wrap this up.
I've got a weird story that happened. It's nothing funny, but I'm going to tell it anyway, so here we go.
Okay.
I'm ready.
So basically, I was at work, and one of my many Spanish friends, because I've got a ton of them, we were talking about like masculine and feminine like ways to say words and how I think it's weird.
Yeah.
And so when I say, you know, trabajo to her, which I guess is the word for work, but she's like, no, it has to have an A at the end if you're saying it to a female. So I was like, so if I order nachos with queso, can I change it to nachas y queso? And apparently nachas is slang for like ass. So I asked her for her ass with cheese. So I all day I was asking people for some nachas. Nachas y queso.
You know, I've never...
That's my story, by the way. That's it.
I've never talked to any trans people who are from countries that have the masculine and feminine words, and I don't know how they roll. Like, you know, how does that work?
Honestly,
Do they have a Spanish Tumblr? I'll find out.
God. Yeah, that's a good question. I never even thought about that.
Was it like a negative and a positive make a positive, or a negative and another negative make a positive?
I mean, it just
rerouted
like,
me to regular Tumblr.
It just sounds like being non-binary is borderline impossible.
Well, that's why when you have languages completely based around using male and female like nouns, it's... I don't have no idea how you're supposed to get
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll try tumblr.br. Is that Brazil?
Honestly, they might be against transgender people simply because they don't want to do different things with their language.
This connection is not private.
I want... keep on digging. I want to give a brief shout out to a show that I really love that I saw on Variety today. Take it what you will, that it's not doing too well. It's a Netflix original. It's called The Get Down. And I love it.
I heard it's really good.
You said it was really good, but I looked at the preview for it, and I was completely uninterested.
Dude, the trailer sucks. The trailer. I didn't even watch it. I assumed it was good. It's a terrible trailer.
It just looked like 70s like funk dancing. Yeah,
it looked like that 70s show or something, but with different people.
Now, I mean, Boar, our tastes differ greatly. I don't know if you'll like it, but here's what the show is. It's a...
It's not World of Warcraft.
Done.
Downvote.
It's a period piece set in the late 70s, New York City, when the town was bankrupt right before the big blackout that is widely considered the birth of hip hop, because the city blacked out, people stole high-end stereo equipment and were able to become DJs overnight.
Where was Daredevil?
Well, he did exist. I don't know if the Daredevil comics ever confronted that, but it's a thing.
Wait, so people stole a bunch of stereo equipment and then they became DJs? Is this a real thing that happened?
This is a massive part of music history.
Okay.
So New York was basically the Warriors. Like, it was a crime-ridden, like, crazy post-apocalyptic world. And there were regular building arsons, so people could try to, like, get insurance scams and so on. Like, the Bronx was burning. It was this whole... It was a very crazy time to be in New York City, and from that came like the punk rock scene, hip hop, and so much, and disco was already thriving at that point in time. So this is a show about those music scenes and the people there and the crisis in New York City and how that all interacts. It has a predominantly Black and Puerto Rican cast. It is not a musical, but has musical sequences because it's so much about music. It's hyper stylized, but at the same time is really grounded in reality. It's just as violent and homophobic and every other awful thing that New York was at the time, while being also extremely beautiful. And a point of contention, depending on your taste in film, could be that the creator of the series is Baz Luhrmann. The guy did Moulin Rouge and the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio.
What?
Negative 5 points to be interested.
But here's the thing.
But have you seen the opening to Moulin Rouge? Come on.
I've never seen Moulin Rouge, but I do love the Romeo and Juliet.
The Baz Luhrmann is a director who I like aspects of what he does, but he goes off the rails in a big way, right? Like, he's out of control. His cameras are moving everywhere. Shots keep changing real quick. This is like, it has all the hallmarks of Baz Luhrmann's stuff, but it's like he exercises control. It's as though all of his work culminated to this one point, which is him taking on a topic that he's never even broached before and using all of his filmic techniques to do something. And it's amazing. So, I absolutely love it.
It's like that time George Lucas actually had a team that would tell him what was good and what wasn't.
Maybe.
Listen to
that. I don't know.
Similar to that.
Luhrmann created the concept. And he directs the first episode, but after that he's executive producer. The first episode's like feature length, and then it's about an hour for every successive episode.
Why would he just do the first episode and then be like, done?
Well, it's kind of how it works when you're a film person working on a television
thing.
It It had direct this show had direct involvement with Grandmaster Flash, Curtis Blow, and Nas. They all executive produced and helped with the music and the series. They had a hip hop.
Where's George Clinton?
George Clinton from the funk scene?
Yeah.
Not in New York City at that time.
Oh, what was he doing? Let's watch him.
It's really spot on. It's great. And if you're a fan of nonfiction comic books, the Hip Hop Family Tree, one of the most awesome nonfiction comics of the past several years by Ed Piskor, was directly used as reference material for the show. So I love The Get Down. I think it's awesome. You should totally just at least give it a chance, see if you like it. And maybe you won't. I don't know. But the cast is great, really well acted, really great story. I'm constantly surprised by it. I want to rewatch it, and I don't even have time for that kind of thing.
I still haven't watched Stranger Things.
What?
I started watching it. I haven't finished it.
What?
Yeah. It's supposed to be one of those shows where you watch the first episode and then you just watch the whole thing in one night.
Yeah, everybody else is you can't stop watching it.
And you're like,
every episode ends with a cliffhanger, but then every single episode, I'm like,
Wow, you're the one.
Just like I, the 1%. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like Game of Thrones. I've seen every single episode of Game of Thrones except for the very last episode. And everybody's like, just watch it. It's like the best episode. I'm like,
wait, you haven't watched the season finale?
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Sorry.
You don't mind it being spoiled either, do you, from everyone that's
somehow managed to avoid all spoilers of it. I know a lot of people die, supposedly.
Lucky you.
And that I'm going to cry.
You think a lot of people die.
That's what people tell me. They're like, a lot of people die and you're going to cry. And I'm like, okay, so then I just
won't
watch
it. Just one person.
Thanks. Done. I won't continue. I'll just leave it where I left off.
I still haven't watched the end of Gravity Falls.
Oh.
Wow.
So I feel like...
Get on it. You won't.
I just keep...
It's just fun.
I just keep forgetting.
I haven't started it.
and also, when I watch it, it's over.
That's true. Summer will never end as long as you don't watch those three
episodes.
I actually
did that with Stargate Universe. I didn't watch the last episode like 6 months
or
something.
Is that when they're on the ship, or is that
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I just didn't want it to end.
Delta Quark.
I was really sad about that.
They're making another one.
They're making a new movie.
I know.
Talked about that.
I know.
Yeah, it's putting everything you care about in a blender.
Wait, it's
doing
a movie?
Yeah.
I thought they were going to reboot
a movie
the
trilogy.
Show.
No, I think we had this same conversation a while ago, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. We
I
totally
think I just
did.
Keep hoping for the show. I'm just like, what?
Say hello to King Tut for me, asshole.
Oh, my God.
Then he nukes the fucker. That movie's so good. Not as good as Fifth Element, but damn. Everyone go watch the original Stargate movie.
Well, I mean, the original Stargate movie came out way before Fifth Element.
Kurt Russell. That's all I'm saying.
And James.
Not way before. They were pretty close to each other.
Mm.
I mean, within years. Like, single digit, 1 or 2 years.
Let me see.
No, man. Fifth Element was 10 years
after
Stargate.
97 versus...
95.
Damn.
93.
Really? Are we actually fact-checking? That's weird on this show.
Come on.
Fuck, it's hard to find because it's
Dude, you just literally...
1994. Wow, that isn't too far.
When was Stargate? When was Stargate?
97.
And Fifth Element?
No, I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Fifth Element was 97. Stargate was 94.
Fifth Element came out before Final Fantasy VII? What? Did, though. Why didn't they get as good CG that they had in Fifth Element? No taxis.
Well, hey, they're fixing their errors now, so.
Here's another controversial opinion. I didn't really like Final Fantasy VII. I didn't actually pay attention at all to... those until 8, because 8, I like the graphics a little bit better.
Yeah, I have no idea why 7 was ever as popular.
I couldn't stand the graphics. I saw people playing it, and I was like, "What? Those characters look retarded."
I have friends who still play 7. They're like, it's the most amazing thing ever.
Because it was revolutionary.
I mean, I loved it in spite of its graphics, because Cloud's weird hourglass arms were an affront to everything that I knew about animation and design, even as a child, but
everything about that was terrible to me,
despite,
and I just didn't want to have anything to do with it.
The story and the characters were so compelling,
and
I didn't
give
a fuck.
And the background painted.
But you have to be able to reel me in to get that story and those characters.
They had mods right afterwards that you could have played on PC.
I played it for a little bit at Blockbuster Video, perhaps. And then I went and I bought a PlayStation.
Me too.
I collected money for months just to do it, just because I liked what I played so much.
They sent me a VHS tape with a video of the trailer, and that's what made me buy it. And I still have it at home somewhere. The VHS tape with Final Fantasy VII.
So
trailer.
I'm one of those terrible people that didn't pay attention to
Actually,
Final
Brandon,
Fantasy until 8.
I think I have that VHS. Yeah. I think you gave it to me. I think it's down here in this box.
Oh, geez. Well, I grew up on my first game that I ever played was either Final Fantasy I or Dragon Quest I, and like that sealed the deal. I played like every Final Fantasy game, even though most of them suck now. But you know, they're cool.
I liked faster paced games back then. Like if someone wasn't running and jumping.
Big Nose the Caveman was great. No one's ever beaten it to my knowledge.
Back in those days, I was playing Doom and stuff on the computer and Commander Keen and you know stuff that was a little bit.
I'm older, paced. Mature. I don't need to be a child again or have fun and play Final Fantasy. I just want to shoot things with a gun and then play Call of Duty later and Warcraft forever.
Yeah. Well, if you're a kid that doesn't have that big of an attention span, Final Fantasy really wasn't that appealing.
If you don't have a big attention span, I don't know how the hell you're playing World of Warcraft for 8 years.
I said I didn't.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's true.
Right on.
Anyway, what are we talking about?
I don't know. Let's just derail
Resident
again.
Evil 4, right? That's what we're talking about?
I love Resident Evil.
Okay.
President?
Oh, that game's going to be made after November. Thank you.
President Evil Apocalypse. I'm sure you can already play that on some one of those websites that has those Flash games.
Yeah.
I'm sure we just
need the opening title where it says Resident Evil.
And also, I'm pretty sure GamePro made that joke as Lame Pro back in some April issue in the late 90s.
Speaking of election stuff, watch the new South Parks. Holy crap, they're so good.
You were like, they're still hitting it. They're still doing it.
They're still hitting the nail squarely on the head. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, well, they're doing, last year they did this thing where every episode bled into the next episode.
It was like the first time they ever had like a contiguous story through South Park
for an entire season, and they're doing it again.
They're doing it again.
Is the latest episode great because it supports your point of view or just it's good overall?
It doesn't really take a firm stance one way or another.
Yeah, no, it's just telling really good jokes and being really subversive and
honestly only remember the episode where Cartman tried to freeze himself so he could buy a Wii U or a Wii, and he didn't want to wait a month, and then for a little while
I was having a crisis, like just worrying that here at Nerdy Show we just manufacture Memba berries.
I agree because like remember Chewbacca, you know, like
remember Stormtroopers.
No, but like that, and that's they introduced a concept in this episode of South Park called that they're going to do something crazy with.
It's going somewhere, but they're called member berries.
Yeah, and it's a drug.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
This is going to be one of those things that South Park creates that people are going to now reference forever because it's so like it just hits the nail on the head as. Bor already said so squarely. It's a drug that you get to feel better about things, and they're like.
And J.J. Abrams apparently manufactures them. Maybe
it's like a pile of grapes, and they have little faces, and they just say stuff to you like, remember, like, and just insert some nostalgic thing like, remember E.T.,
remember Ghostbusters, remember Slimer,
and you're just like, oh yeah, I remember.
And it's this weird, expansive analogy for basically what's happening in Hollywood right now, and then also what's happening with the Trump candidacy and a bunch of other stuff. Like, remember racism.
Oh yeah, one of the member berries said something like, "Remember when marriage was just between a man and a woman?"
Wow.
And it's a commentary on nostalgia and how awful it can be. And nostalgia is something that's really harped on quite a bit in nerd culture. And it's important to see where nostalgia can cloud our judgment and how we need to be passionate about what's actually good.
And like interesting and
which is something that I've always thought we did really well on the Nerdy Show Network on the whole, is that we're, you know, we don't have our judgment clouded by our feelings. We love what we love, and we then back up that love with, you know, educated opinions. At least that's my take.
I don't have any educated opinions, and I honestly can't remember anything I did like more than a year ago, so that's cool.
I'm so sorry.
It's all the concussions.
So if Brandon gets member berries, they'll be like, member Stormtroopers, and he'll be like, that was over a year ago. What? No. What?
Probably not.
I don't. No.
If you remember berries a year from now, they're going to be like, member crabs.
Every January 1st, I find a journal on my bed, and I don't know how it got there, and I literally have to read my entire life over again, but there's another year tacked on. Every January 1st. Just like, I have no idea what happened in my life. I just wake up. There's a fucking journal. Oh, this is what you did yesterday and the day before. And it's like,
so you can remember. Do you write it the night before? Like, so you just, oh shit, I forgot.
The thing that's weird is I don't know. Because as soon as January 2nd comes around.
All I wrote down was crabs.
As soon as January 2nd comes around, the journal's gone. And then it only shows up again on the 1st of next year. So it's, I don't know where it goes, man. Wow. Could be my fart box. That's the only place I haven't looked. No, I have looked recently. There's nothing in my fart box.
Well, if you'd like me to tongue punch it, I can check it all out.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Okay, we'll record that. Oh. We're going to get a lot of hits, a lot of views.
Right.
I'm going to be single right after that, but we'll do it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be fine.
What have I got to lose?
Well, thanks so much for listening to this episode of Nerdy Show. Taking us out is something brand new from Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys. They're a kick-ass, really grim, gritty, vaudeville, kind of Tom Waitsy, circus music-y kind of dark band that I love very much. And you may have heard their music on the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. They got a brand new record out called Come Black Magic, really ready for if you want to have spooky Halloween tunes. They got them for you this year. They got a song like it's kind of about The Shining. They got a song seems like it's about lycanthropy. They got a ton of shit about ghosts. This is the title track, Come Black Magic, off the record. And we're playing, and it is sexual in nature.
Okay, I was giggling because Come Black Magic. And I'm like, see you, Evan. I just look over at Boren, and he's just doing the motion. Not, and I'm like, yep, that's you know what I'm talking
it's
about.
It's not explicitly sexual in nature, but you could certainly are meant to take it that way, basically.
Because I'm a man child.
And we're playing, we've got the whole record playing on nerdy.fm, our nerd music radio station. So here it is, the title track, Come Black Magic by Walter Sickert and the Army of Broken Toys.
Sploosh. Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud or Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to visit Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks, including Reddit. Go to reddit.com/r/nerdyshow. Subscribe. It'll show up in your Reddit feed. You'll love it. And if it's geeky, we've got it covered.
You were going to say something, Brandon.
That was really long. No, I was going to say, I feel like I'm about to have diarrhea, so. guys,
well, that's audio only, so you could have just got up and left.
No. Oh, is it? I didn't. Yeah. Well, I see the light on, you know.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to wait till I get home. I'm going to wait till it stews a bit.
Well, I can't wait to tongue your fart box, especially if it's been stewed.
If you tongue my fart box right now, like, the brown goo is going to just go all the way in you.